C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, March 4th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We've told you how the pandemic helped create a job seekers market, with millions of workers leaving their jobs for better pay and companies struggling to fill open slots. But that's also happening among students who are trying to land summer internships. Competition for interns has gotten so fierce that some who've gotten and accepted offers are reneging on them to take a better deal elsewhere.
Just like a lot of job seekers, there is demand for people to come in the door. Companies look at their summer internship programs and they're not just thinking about that summer. They're thinking, who can we identify, you know, among this cohort of interns that a year from now we're going to want to bring back or we want to hire full time after the program?
On today's show, we'll discuss the growing leverage students have in the competitive world of summer internships with our reporter Lindsay Ellis. Plus, we'll hear from one student who reneged on an internship offer and see how it turned out. That's after the break.
C3 AI software enables organizations to use artificial intelligence at enterprise scale, solving previously unsolvable business problems. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
For college students, an offer for a summer internship can mean getting their foot in the door and launching a career track. But amid the tight labor market, more students are walking away from offers they've already accepted to take an even better one. In a moment, we'll hear from WSJ reporter Lindsay Ellis about this growing trend and the competition for entry-level talent. But first, let's bring in one of those in-demand interns for a firsthand account. I'm joined now by Naja Shambliss. She's 21 and a senior at Georgia Tech University, majoring in computer science. Last fall, she began applying for internships for this coming summer. Hey, Naja, thanks for being here.
I'm glad to be here.
So, Naja, back in October, you landed a summer internship. Tell us about how that went.
So I was applying for internships and I had found this opportunity on, I believe, LinkedIn. It was either LinkedIn or Handshake, I believe. And so, I went ahead and applied and I figured I would have a pretty good chance of getting this internship because I had previously interned with a defense company. And so I thought, you know, getting this internship from this other defense company would be, you know, not too bad. And I also wanted to intern somewhere else other than this previous company, which is why I was applying for other companies. And so, I applied and it took a little while to get back to me, but I ended up interviewing with them once. And then I heard back from them about a month later, I believe, saying that I received an offer.
All right. But then earlier this year, your plans changed. What happened there?
At the end of November, my recruiter reached out to me on LinkedIn also asking me to apply for a Microsoft internship. And I had already accepted the defense internship, but I was like, you know, it's Microsoft. I've applied for them before. I haven't been accepted previously. So, you know, this would just be an extra step for practice for when I apply again for the next recruiting season. So I filled out the application she sent me. And then I went through the first round of interviews, which wasn't too bad. Thank God. And then I got pushed to the final round and I received an offer after that.
Oh, so what did Microsoft offer you?
I'm not able to disclose the numbers, but let's say it was definitely double what the defense industry was offering me. And then they were also giving me a relocation stipend and a stipend with, to help with my moving expenses and stuff like that. So it's a pretty great deal.
So you eventually had to go tell the defense company that you had accepted a new opportunity. How'd that conversation go?
So it's actually pretty funny. So I sent out an email to, I believe she was my onboarding HR person, and stating that, you know, I do apologize for having to do this to you guys so late in the game, but unfortunately, I have to renege my offer. And I actually did not get a response for them. I had sent them an email and I never received an email back, but I did look at my portal And it had said that I was no longer being considered for the position. So I don't think they received that information in the best way. But yeah, that's what happened.
So when you first got the word from the recruiter that there was a Microsoft internship out there to try to go after, how did you feel about that process at that stage? I imagine you had firmed up the defense company internship and had signed some papers, right?
Yeah. I thought this opportunity was different, mainly because I had never been had a recruiter directly from a company, DM me the or specifically from Microsoft. I have never had a Microsoft recruiter DM me on LinkedIn asking me to apply for a position. So I kind of had a good feeling about this process, and that's kind of what made me be like, okay, even though I've already accepted this offer, this might turn out differently. So let's try it.
All right, that's Naja Chambliss, a senior at Georgia Tech University with us. Naja, thank you so much for taking the time to chat.
Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast experience, so I'm very grateful. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, we really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
So what's driving this cutthroat competition for interns? And what are companies doing to keep potential interns interested? For more on that, I'm joined by WSJ reporter Lindsay Ellis. She's been looking into it. Lindsay, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Lindsay, these bidding wars for interns, like we just heard with Naja, is that something new?
So interns, especially in in-demand fields like computer science, engineering, and the like, they've always had, some competitive offers. But the level of competition that I heard from interns seemed just really striking. Campuses and companies are saying that they're seeing competition over interns in a way that feels different than prior years, especially the last 2 years, the first with the pandemic really sinking in, and last year with everything in a much different hiring market than we are right now.
So why do interns suddenly have this kind of leverage in the job market?
Just like a lot of job seekers, there is demand for people to come in the door. And I think that for interns emerges in a couple of ways. The first is, companies really want applicants and they want qualified applicants. And that inherently gives the people who are applying, who have strong resumes, who have the skills that they're looking for, an edge. I think the other reason is companies look at their summer internship programs and they're not just thinking about that summer. They're thinking, who can we identify, among this cohort of interns that a year from now we're going to want to bring back or we want to hire full-time after the program? And so this is sort of a key pool for companies to look at their entry-level workforce. And so there is more demand in hiring the right people when this could be my pipeline 6 months from now, a year from now.
Is there ever any kind of a penalty if a student backs out of an internship that they've already accepted?
It can vary from campus to campus, but yes. Cornell's Business School, if you're an MBA student and you accept an offer for the summer, and then you go out and interview and accept a different one and back out of that first one, they say that they reserve the right to fine you up to $2,500.
Wow. I mean, for a college student, that's a lot of money.
It is, yes. And for those two, those were specifically for business school students, so perhaps a little later in their career. But these are people that don't necessarily have, income coming in every month and yet still might be on the hook. There are other penalties that are also, significant. At the University of California, Berkeley's Business School, one of the possible sanctions is a 16-hour service project. So that can be a significant amount of money, certainly, and time if you're caught kind of backing out from this.
But a student might consider switching to a different internship that could better jumpstart their career, right? But is there a danger of them burning their bridges behind them?
Colleges say that there is. I mean, they are quick to remind students that it's a small world and a small job market in a lot of ways. Recruiters move from company to company. Someone who you interact with when you're 22, you might encounter in a totally different field, a few years down the line. They also sort of put in place their own regulations that could, hamper a student's, trajectory as they continue through their education. some schools at the undergraduate level will restrict the use of a platform called Handshake, where a lot of jobs are listed for students who are caught backing out. You know, I think students who I talked to who have considered this or who have done this, you know, look at the name on the resume, they look at the salary that they could be bringing in, and importantly, they look at the experience that they think that they're going to get at these preferred internship programs. And in a lot of cases, that's a very strong counterweight to a more nebulous idea of possible ramifications. You know, there's another side to that coin as well, which is the relationship between the college and the company. And many campus career offices are really cognizant of that relationship and don't want to do anything to stress it or damage it. Their fear is that if a number of students back out from opportunities that they've already accepted, might that influence whether a company wants to come back next semester or next year and knock on their door and recruit future classes. And so one aspect of, you know, could this be hurtful is thinking about what is the next student who comes around, what's going to be their experience. And colleges are really, you know, have that front of mind.
Now, there's usually several months between the time somebody lands an internship and when they actually start. So what are companies doing to prevent people from backing out?
There usually are several months between these dates. And one thing that really surprised me in reporting this is that in some cases, there are many more months than I had anticipated. People were telling me that they were interviewing for these summer internships while they were doing a different summer internship. So companies need to, you know, keep students warm is what they say, you know, make sure that they're front of mind for these candidates that they've worked hard to recruit. Liberty Mutual told me about their Keep in Touch campaign, including interns in get-togethers that are held virtually, some coffee chats and the like to kind of keep them engaged with what's going on. One logistics company that I talked to mentioned sending holiday e-cards to the students who had accepted. So there are different tactics, some with video engagement and you know, when possible, in-person engagement, but others just really leaning into the messaging.
And so how are the companies responding to this trend of interns backing out of offers? And, you know, how are they thinking about their internship programs more broadly to keep people interested?
So some of them are looking at pay benchmarks and making sure that this very basic aspect of it, this critical aspect of it, is competitive with other organizations and external benchmarks. Some of them begrudge the trend and, you know, it's sort of, you know, you kind of throw your hands up in the air and it's a little bit of a kids these days reaction. But the thing that I think was that most stood out to me on this was a real focus on what can we do as an organization to prepare for the summer, just kind of accepting that this might take place. So a few companies, including General Mills, told me and have mentioned that they plan to overhire, basically extending a few more offers than they typically would and hoping that a few more candidates than they want to accept, expecting that a few of them are maybe going to back out between now and the summer. And I think they are also thinking about how they recruit and how they build relationships with students. One common refrain I heard from recruiters was, in this virtual environment, maybe students feel less of a strong connection with us as a company and with the recruiters and the team overall. How can we build that up and keep them feeling close? And so that sort of speaks to some of the strategies, the keeping in touch efforts and the like.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Lindsay Ellis with us. Lindsay, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.
Thank you for your interest in the WSJ podcasts from the Wall Street Journal. We're always looking to improve, and we're interested in hearing your opinions. Please go to wsj.com/survey and take a survey that will help us bring you more of the content you're looking for. Thank you for your time and support.